Tonight we are going to look at, in our overview discussion, the book of Judges. Last week we finished Joshua.
Recording in progress.
And we had noticed that God was fulfilling his promise to the children of Israel. And he was faithful to his word. As for the Israelites, when they obeyed and trusted God, God was good to them. God fought their battles for them. The book of Judges is just the opposite. We see that the children of Israel disobeyed God. They were warring with the Canaanites in the promised land. And God had told them to wipe them out. And they didn't heed God's word. So when we look at the book of Judges, it gives us an insight of God's judgment against sin. Man had divided this book up into 21 chapters, and we see that Israel lives through cycles of bondage and deliverance from the Canaanites in this particular book. And God appoints judges such as Gideon and Samson to assist them. The key lessons we could learn from the book of judgment is disobedience brings judgment. God doesn't tolerate sin. And as Christians, when we read the book of Judges, we see that when Israel disobeys God, they are punished for it. When we disobey God, we may not see the punishment directly, but in the day of judgment, we will be accountable for what we do, good and bad. And in this particular book of Judges, we see that Jesus delivers us from injustice. And he did that by dying on the cross. The book of Judges contains 12 judges, but there are more judges that we read about in the Bible. First of all, Moses, before Judges, the book of Judges, we see that his father-in-law, Jethro, had told him that he would be very weary if he had to judge every item from every item by himself that came across from the Israelites. So he appointed people to help him judge. The weightier matters, he judged. We also see that Joshua was a great warrior and leader, but also he was a judge. He was in charge of the children of Israel, and he basically judged. In the book of Judges, we read about Othniel, and I don't know if I said it right, but that's a Hebrew word. He was a judge along with Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, a female judge, and Gideon. We also read about Gideon's son, Abimelech, who ruled as a king for 3 years, Judges 9 and verse 22. However, God didn't appoint Abimelech as judge, as a king, but he ruled under his own, under the people who wanted him to be a king. But yet God, he wasn't a king appointed by Jehovah. We also read about a judge named Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. And those are the ones in the book of Judges. We see that Eli, we read about him as a judge in 1 Samuel against Samuel, and they were after the book of Judges. The book of Judges comes between a period between a leader like Moses and Joshua to people that God wanted to lead his people. And they had faults. There were some good judges, but most of them were bad. And we see that there's a cycle that the children of Israel go through where they sin, they turn their backs on Jehovah. They commit evil. They realize that they went against the Lord. They ask for repentance. And God delivers them with a judge, one of the judges. And they live in peace for a while. And that cycle continues through the book of Judges. And it's a lesson for us to learn in our lives as Christians. We should be putting God first in everything we do and not allow the troubles, the worldly things that Satan uses to pull us away. So we see in Judges, it covers a period of approximately 300 years with a series of judges serving Israel. Now, a lot of the other nations around them have kings. But in this particular point in time, Israel is led by these judges. And they often made poor, unethical choices because they didn't seek God for their decisions, but did things on their own. What does that tell you about us today? When we don't seek God's advice. And God willingly gives us his advice. Not only that we pray to him, but we have his word. We have the way he wants us to live. We have the way that he expects his children to live. Now, the children of Israel, they were his people. They were his holy people. But when you read the first two books and first two chapters in Judges, we see that they're just a people. And they turn their backs on God. One of the reasons they turn their backs on God, God told them to destroy all the Canaanites. And did they do that? We read last week in Joshua that they allowed some groups to stay whole, the Gideonites. And Joshua, who was their leader, didn't even consult God about that. So they made poor choices. And the period of Judges began after the death of Joshua in an early 14th century BC. And we have a reference of Joshua 24 and 29. And it continued until Saul was crowned king of Israel by the prophet Samuel in 1051 BC. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 24. And it's the book of Judges acts as a sequel to the book of Joshua. It is linked by comparable accounts of Joshua's death. In Joshua 24, verses 29 to 31, and also Judges 2, 6 through 9. So it follows Joshua in the history of the children of Israel. And the events within the book of Judges span the geographical breadth of the nation, happening in a variety of cities, towns, and battlefields. Some of the judges ruled simultaneously in separate geographical regions. So they overlapped their jurisdiction over the children of Israel. The contents of Judges were likely not written chronologically. The final few chapters in Judges, chapters 17 through 21, give an overview of the moral climate during those days. It's funny that we're looking at the Old Testament, and we see a pattern that's evolving around humanity. And that is sin. I mean, Satan is egging on or influencing people to turn their backs on God. We as Christians should be preparing ourselves to fight that, to combat that, to make sure that we don't allow Satan a foothold in our relationship with God. He would want a Christian to turn their backs on God. And it's not something that is right. We see that rather than occurring after the period of the judges listed early in the book, they probably happened in and around the times of various judges mentioned in the earlier chapters. The contents of Judges, it basically skips. And we could read something and we like to say, well, the next thing we read is going to be in sequence, but it's not. It's just a snapshot of what is happening in that 300-year period. And also we read about Israel's cycle of sin. The nation underwent political and religious turmoil as the people tried to possess those parts of the land that they had not yet fully conquered. Again, they didn't put their trust, they didn't obey God, and they weren't faithful to Him. And there are consequences. There are consequences to us today. Even the tribes fought among themselves as well, nearly wiping out the tribe of Manasseh and Benjamin, Judges 12 and Judges 20 and 21. So we see that there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of bickering. Instead of coming together as Joshua had challenged the children of Israel to put God first, they failed in that arena. And the pattern of behavior in the book of Judges is clear. The people rebelled through idolatry and disbelief. God brought judgment through foreign oppression erase and deliver the or judge, and the people repented and turned back to God. When the people fell back into sin, the cycle started all over again. This should teach us a lesson. We, and each and every one of us, deal with temptation, all sorts of temptations, different temptations in each and every one of our lives. When we go back and ask God for forgiveness through Jesus, we hope that we learn a lesson to stay away from those things and not continue and fall back into that sin. How do we not do that? Well, one of it is to meditate on God's word and also pray to God for guidance, for wisdom, for strength, for courage. Put God in your life. And we have an avenue through Jesus to approach the Father, which is wonderful, which is fabulous. But the children of Israel, they just disregarded that. In fact, they were just, instead of a holy people, they were just a people. But they were taking on the identity of those in the land, the Canaanites. So you could say that they were also a Canaanite people because they sinned and they didn't put God first. Well, we see that the book of Judges is a tragic account on how Yahweh, God, was taken for granted by his children year after year, century after century. That's sad. And Judges is a sad contrast to the book of Joshua, which chronicles the blessings God bestowed on the Israelites for their obedience in conquering the land. In Judges, they were disobedient and idolatrous, leading to many defeats. So as Christians, when we read the book of Judges, we see that they disobeyed God. They continued in their sins, and they allowed Satan to enter into their lives to pull them away, pull these individuals away from being God's children. And God never failed to open his arms in love to his people, whether they repented from their wicked ways and called upon his name. God is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to us when we obey his word, when we submit our lives via baptism. He's going to give us the opportunity for salvation. It's not a guarantee. We, by God's mercy and grace, as we live a faithful and righteous life, we may someday have eternal life. And that's our goal, to be with God. Can I get someone to read this particular verse in Judges 2 and verse 18? Thank you. So God raised up judges for them and delivered them from the hands of their enemies. God was very concerned. He was passionate. He was concerned about his children because of the oppression and affliction they were under. And when they went back to God, they were groaning for help. And the Lord helped them. Just like us today, when we need assistance in our lives, spiritual assistance, we go to God and ask for help. I know it's difficult at times when you have the worldly pressures around you trying to pull you away, but you have a family here. That is your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. You have people who study a lot, people who dedicate their lives, who are who you should model your life after because the way they live their lives. And it's important that you do. Reach out to your to people who are older, people who are mature Christians to help you. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of it's something that you should be helping yourself so that others may assist you in your needs. And Christians, no matter who they are, will do that. We attended a local church here Sunday at town of Windsor, Colorado. And those Christians were very open and they welcomed us with open arms. And they were very sincere in the way they worship God. And that's important, to be around other brothers and sisters in Christ so that you could get stronger. And no matter what the situation is, you could call on the elders, you could call on the preacher, dean in this particular case, for us, anybody is there to help. And you just have to reach out because we want to see everyone in heaven. I know I do. Oh, sorry. Okay, so in Judges, we see a cycle of sin and deliverance. The Israelites are dwelling in the promised land. And can I get someone to read Judges chapter 2 and verse 1, please?
The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you.
Thank you very much, Ann. So we see that God is faithful to his promise, and he wouldn't break the covenant he made with his children. He gave them the promised land. But the Israelites proved their unfaithfulness to Yahweh. Can I get a volunteer to read Judges 2 and verse 2, please?
And as for you, you shall lay built up the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done?
Thanks, Eileen. So we see that God had given the children of Israel a command not to make a covenant with those who are living in the promised land. And they were supposed to tear down all their altars. But they didn't obey God. They weren't faithful to God. They did their own thing. We do our own thing sometimes. We think we know what's right. However, we don't. We should be relying on God. We should look to his word for guidance. We should look to his word so that we will be faithful to him in times of temptation. We will be faithful to him and dedicate our lives to him. We have examples of that in the New Testament. We studied 1st and 2nd Peter, and those Christians of the first century were being tortured because they professed Jesus as their Lord and Christ. What about the people today? The people who are in countries like Ukraine, Afghanistan, where they try to practice their worshiping God, and their lives are in jeopardy. We don't have that in our country as of yet today, but someday we might. And it's up to you to be firm, be constant, go to God and study his word and apply it to your heart and wear it on your sleeve and show others. We also said that the Israelites fall into a repetitive cycle of sin. Can I get someone to read Judges 2 verses 11 and 12, please?
And the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and they forsook the Lord, the God of our fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods among the tribes of the peoples who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them, thus they provoked the Lord to anger.
Exactly. Thanks, Di. We see that the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they worshiped idols, other gods, gods of the land that they were promised, the promised land. They followed other gods of people that were around them. And God was angry about this because they sinned. They didn't put God first. We see in the book of Exodus that God had commanded them that they should have no other gods before the Lord. They didn't follow that. We also see that the Israelites fall into a repetitive cycle of oppression. When they sinned, God sent other nations to put them down. Can I get someone to read verse 15 in chapter 2 of Judges, please?
Wherever they went, they never could worship against them for evil as the Lord had spoken, and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed.
Thank you. Whenever they went into the hand of the Lord was against them for their evil. That particular verse should resonate in our lives. Because when we do evil, when we sin, God is not with us anymore. We separate our relationship with him with sin. And we're not in a spiritual relationship with the Lord. We may think we are, but we're not. And it's up to us to get that right. And the children of Israel, back in the day, they fell into this sin, being oppressed, asking for help. And then again, they received God's compassion, God's mercy, God's assistance. And what did they do? They sinned again. The Israelites fall into a repetitive cycle of repentance and deliverance. God is there for us. And it's up to us to reach out to him. And can I get someone to read chapter 3 of Judges and verse 9, please?
When the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverance for the sons of Israel to deliver them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother.
Thank you, Wes. I appreciate that. So when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, when they sought after the Lord, Jehovah gave him a deliverer, and that was one of the judges. In this particular case, it was Caleb's younger brother, Othniel. And Judges 15, can I get a volunteer for that one, please, in chapter 3? Thank you. So we see that when they cried to the Lord, when they asked God for help, Jehovah sent someone. I like this guy because he's a left-handed guy. So left-handed people are pretty good. But being that as it may, we see that when we seek God, when we're repenting from our sins and go to the Lord through Christ, he's going to welcome us back. And that's what he did here in Judges. When we look at chapters 3 through 16, we see that there's a number of judges, and basically we read the names of some, but the key judges that we read about, they did some things that were spectacular, like Deborah, like Othniel. We read about Samson. We read about this fellow Ehud. They did things that God wanted them to do, and they stepped up to the occasion. And they had their faults, and we have our faults, but yet we should go to God, and He will give us his mercy and grace. And that's what he's doing here in Judges. And then when they were repentive, the Israelites fall into a repetitive cycle of peace. And can I get a volunteer to read Judges 3 and verse 11, please?
Then the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died.
So during Othniel's reign as judge, they had peace. They rested for 40 years. When we put God in our lives, and many of us can attest to this, We have joy, we have peace, we have comfort, knowing that God is there and he's on our side. And when the children of Israel repented from their sins, repented from worshiping idols, they enjoyed the peace. They enjoyed not being attacked by people because God was protecting them. And this particular cycle of where they sin, where they were oppressed, where they repented, appears six times throughout the book of Judges. And each time, the consequences get worse. We as Christians should look at that. When we repeat those sins, are we listening to God? Well, we have to approach God with a humble heart and an attitude that asks his forgiveness. And we, on our part, should take the responsibility to strive to be a righteous person. That's a good lesson out of the book of Judges. The book of Judges describes many heroes of faith, and we have a few. Othniel, Gideon, Samson, Shamgar, Deborah, Jephthah, and Ehud. But then again, they did bad things, and we see that. But they were God's instruments. They were God's chosen judge for his people. They were flawed, but they answered God's call to deliver the Israelites in sometimes dramatic form. And we see that with Samson. And the primary message of Judges is that God will not allow sin to go unpunished. That particular message in Judges should be indelled upon our minds and hearts, because when we sin, we will be accountable for those sins. We may not see the results here today, but when we appear before the judgment seat of God, we will be held accountable for those sins. In the book of Judges, God disciplined the Israelites for following other gods, disobeying his sacrificial laws, engaging in blatant immorality, descending into anarchy at times. And because they were his people, Jehovah, he listened to their cries for mercy and raised up leaders to deliver them. And as we go through the Old Testament and we get through the minor prophets, we are going to see that at one point, God's not going to communicate to his people. He's going to turn his back on him, because that's what these people did to God. By following other gods, disobeying his laws, practicing immorality, and causing a ruckus over different issues, different tribes fighting with each other. That's awesome. That's something to consider in our lives, that we should stay away from sin. We see that the announcement to Samson's mother that she would bear a son to lead Israel is a foreshadowing of the announcement to Mary of the birth of the Messiah. God sent an angel to both women and told them they would conceive and bear a son who would lead God's people. Can I get someone to read Judges chapter 13, verse 7, please?
Now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unseen things, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.
Thank you. So we see that Samson's mother was told that she would conceive a son, and he will be a Nazarite to God until his death. And we know the story of Samson. Can I get a volunteer to read Luke 1 and verse 31, please?
Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus.
Thank you. So the angel appeared to Mary and said, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus. So there's the foreshadowing we see in Judges about Jesus. And we know what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. So God's compassionate delivery of his people, despite their sin and rejection of him, also presents a picture of Christ on the cross. Jesus died to deliver his people, all who would ever believe in him, from their sin. And God is faithful to his promises. He offered up his son to die on the cross so that mankind can have forgiveness of their sins. We look at Judges, he raised judges so that they will deliver his people, the children of Israel. And Jesus, he gave us to die on the cross for our sins, his only son. So there are several judges led the people of Israel and turning them from their worship of Baal and Ashtaroth idols. And the people often strayed from God, were punished and directed back to God, only to stray again. So we see that time and time in Judges. And the only female judge was Deborah, and she was said to be the mother of Israel. I don't know. I didn't find that in Judges, but it was a clip out of Wikipedia. And Gideon was another judge who led Israel back to God. But once again, when he died, they worshiped Baal and Baal-berith, one of Gideon's son. Amalek, we talked about earlier, was acclaimed king of Israel for a short time until he was defeated. Heathen gods again were worshipped, and again the Hebrews were punished by being defeated in battle. So there's a cycle of sin, and it should remind us as Christians to stay away from sin. And Samson, we could read about Samson in Judges 13 to 16. And he was given great strength from God, but became a judge over Israel for 20 years. And in Judges 15 and 15, we see Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. And he fell in love with Delilah, who nagged him into revealing his secret of his strength, his uncut hair. She told the Philistines who cut Samson's hair and then blinded him, and his hair grew back in strength, and his strength returned, and he pulled down the pillars supporting the temple, killing many of the Philistines himself. We know the story of Samson. A lot of Christians who grew up in the church read about Samson and people taught about him. But we read it, but the remainder of the book in chapters 19 to 21, we read about another horrible deed by the Benjamites against the woman of a Levite led to another 11 tribes of Israel, virtually eliminating the tribe of Benjamin, all but a few numbers. So there was some horrendous sinning going on. And it's described in chapters 17 to 21. We could learn a lot of lessons from the book of Judges. One being, it was written to evoke shock and disgust at the horrific sinfulness of which humans are capable when they abandon God. That's a lesson for us, it's a lesson to us to put God first, make him our number one priority in our lives, before our families, before ourselves, before our children, before anything. God is first. When people do whatever they want without any standard for the right or wrong, evil results. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to turn away from God. And we see that in the book of Judges, what the Israelites did. The book of Judges demonstrates the consistent love and faithfulness of God to respond mercifully to the cry from those who are oppressed. He answers this cry by raising up judges, appointing them with his spirit, and performing great acts of deliverance. God's very merciful, and he will treat us with his grace and compassion. Reach out to him. And the book of Judges bridges the gap between the arrival in the promised land and the time of the kings of Israel. We see, as we read the Old Testament, that there is a decline, a stepping away from worshiping God. And it's a lesson for us not to fall into that. Judges warns us against forsaking the Lord and against trying to live life without him. He didn't give us his word down to the minute detail, but he has given us his word to guide us through our lives. And we should be using that to live a righteous life. And Judges teaches us we can't manage life alone. We need God's supernatural power. We're prone to sin. We need God's help. We need to reach out to God to guide us, to give us the wisdom, to give us the knowledge so that we may stay away from sin. Most of all, we need to be obedient to what God has called us to do. Our job as Christians is to share the gospel with others, is to live a righteous life so that one day that we may have eternal life. When we obey God and do his will, we will be faithful in all things to him. Judges inspires us to think that when God wants to accomplish something in the world, often in answer to a cry of his people, he raises up an individual. That's what he did for the children of Israel in Judges. That person, like one of the judges, will not be perfect. They may lack courage or struggle with sin, but they are still called. You may be that individual. Someone may be praying, and you may be the one that will respond to his prayer and assist him or her. Judges also helps us to understand why the world is so corrupt. Satan is out there trying to do what he can to bring people away from God. So be on the outlook. Be on your guard. And the book of Judges helps us to provide a framework to process the evil present in the human heart. We see what the children of Israel did. They sinned. They turned to idols. They didn't obey God. Where are you today in your life as a Christian? Think about that. In the book of Judges, Christians are encouraged that God will respond to the cry for help. And we are relieved that no matter how evil the world becomes and how far we can fall, we could always come back to him. God is there for us. And it's up to us to make that first step in our lives. And if we forget him, he will not forget us because he's faithful. And that concludes what we have for this evening. Does anybody have any comments or want to add to what we covered tonight? I know we haven't gone deep in the book of Judges because we're just doing an overview. But I like to share with my studies with you so that we could better understand what God wants you and I to do in our lives.
Lenny.
Hey, Carolyn.
I was listening to some guys talk on TV a couple of days ago, and they were talking about all the things that we're fighting about, and our you know, people in Washington and so forth are arguing over. And one said, and he was angry when he said it, he said, "We've stopped looking at God." He said, "We've just forgotten about God completely." Do you know that 70% of the Americans think that same-sex marriage is okay? And I said, wow, 70%. That's huge, you know? No wonder we're in the mess that we're in.
Well,
that's not all, you know? That's the other garbage that's going on, too. Not just the same-sex marriage, but, you know, other things that God is opposed to.
Exactly.
God says no, and 70% says it's okay, you know?
Very good observation. We know that God is against sin. And when we read the book of Judges, God's going to judge sin. And if you are in sin, you're going to be judged. And when you read the Bible, there's only a remnant of people that are going to be saved. And I hope and pray all of us are in that remnant. Very good comment, Carolyn. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to add?